The book of Joel, that sweet minor prophet, and wonderful encouragement we get from this word and all over it. But specifically in that second chapter of Joel, we'll begin reading from the 12th verse. And it says there, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart." He is something, isn't he? He didn't want just a piece. He wants it all. That's what he wants. He wants all of you. You got all of him. He wants all of you. And he says, "Turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning." And here we go. "And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Now, I thank the Lord that he's a God that is always looking on the inward. I thank the Lord that he is also always, he's after sincerity. The Word of God tells us that the Father is seeking the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Now, I think it's pretty obvious here where it says, "Rend your heart and not your garments." See, this was an outward expression that would happen often when people were sorrowful or sad. They would take their garments and they would rend them. There would be this great outward expression of sorrow, of remorse, of sadness, and all these different things. But the Lord is telling us very clearly here, it's not because you feel bad or it's because you're remorseful. It's because he's gracious. You see this? Once again, it's getting over you and getting into him. I'm so thankful that we can have a repentant heart. Don't get me wrong. I'm so thankful that we can be moved of the Lord and his chastening. But I don't want to be moved by my feelings. I want to be moved by his grace. I want to be moved by his mercy. I want to be caught up in his long suffering. And this is what he's expressing to us here. See, it's not, it's not because of our feeling. Our flesh, at the enemy's encouraging, will always desire us to turn to us. Always will. Always have you to look to how you feel. It's a huge thing. We're in a time in this world. It's all about how you feel. We're at the time where, as it said in Romans 1, every man did that which was right in their own eyes. There's no more. Their conscience is seared with that rod of hot iron. They've altogether become completely ungodly. We're there. And that's why we know the Lord says, he says, as you see these things come to pass, don't dwell upon them. He said, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. And here, if we do go along with what the enemy would love us to do, we're going to turn to, I feel bad. I'm so bad. I'm so guilty. I'm just a pity. This giant guilt storm could come right into my life. I can embrace that guilt like a big blanket. Makes me feel good all over. I'll just withdraw into my pity. But yet what the Lord's telling us here, it's the rent heart that is broken by his love. See, the outward appearance, meaning the rent garments, is something that we're looking once again to man, as opposed to truly the rent heart is broken by the love of Christ. I pray you see and know the difference. To be really thankful for that. See, that's when you'll feast upon the word of God and you'll rise up. You rise up out of anything. You'll rise up out of despair, sorrow, things that hurt, trials that are so severe, like Joseph. It never says about him getting consumed with the unfortunes and misfortunes of life. It always says that he pressed on. God gave me a vision. He gave me a dream. I saw the word of God. He spoke it to my heart. And faith is not by my sight. Faith doesn't see with the eyes of man, but faith sees with the eyes of God. It sees the promises of God as they're assured that they're yea and amen. My Father has said it, and it's so. And I rest in his word. I know he's for me. And he said, if I be for you, who could be against you? And he's not for me because of any outward appearance. He's not for me because I rent my garments just right. I threw dust in the air and screamed real loud. It's a custom. God's not in that. He's telling us here, it's the brokenness by his love. It's ones that are overwhelmed with my grace and my mercy and my long suffering. Our Lord in his deep devotion and care and his passion for us. That rents my heart. I know it does yours too, doesn't it? It just, there's something that you really can't even explain when the grace of God just so explodes in your heart. It can only cry out to him in such gladness and joy and thanksgiving and gratitude, to an extent where he increases yet the more and I decrease, all because of him. The rent heart, praise God, is consumed in gratitude. Amen? Gratitude, grateful. The rent heart is not consumed with the self-feeling. It's the gratitude of the Savior's unending and never fading and constant and ever apparent and instant and always encouraging love to us. And that's just a few things. I mean, we could go on and on for eternity, but that's exactly what this is. That's what a rent heart is to God. It's what his love is always ready and right there to perform for us always. Always. Oh, I thank the Lord for this. He didn't say get right. He said come boldly. Amen. He didn't say, well, you had to say this or that or whatever. He said, prodigal, just take a step back into the kingdom. It's yours. The feast is waiting, son. See, that's the anticipation of a father that loves you. The feast is waiting. The coat's there. The ring is ready. Most importantly, I got a kiss waiting. That's our God. Now, that's the rent heart always to have. Amen. And even as by the grace of God, we're in the will of God. You're here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. That's the will of God, to hear his truth. We have opportunity to gather. Gather the much the more as you see that day approaching. Come. That's the rent heart, thanking him the same way for your grace and your mercy that brought me in here, because I just love you, Jesus. Because I love you because how much you love me. I want to hear more and more of this. I get excited about hearing the word of God. Now, you see, the Lord is not looking on the outward appearance. Turn on over to 1 Samuel 16. The Lord is looking on the heart. And you think of Samuel, what a man of God. How wonderful, amen. Love Samuel. Been thinking a lot about Samuel. Because as Samuel said and encouraged David in so many different things, I don't know, people can see, think what they want. Maybe say, oh, brother, you're just trying to flatter yourself. Or maybe you're just too romantic or you've got too much of an imagination. But I'll tell you what, John Hill was a Samuel to me. Oh, yes, he was. I know this word of God wasn't just for a moment in time. This is for eternity, folks. And this is it. And this is the life we live, amen, by the faith of the Son of God. All right? And what is faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing? And hearing by the word of God. Amen? So really, truly, it's what is written in our hearts. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So if it's really faith that he's authoring and finishing, what is that? That's the word of God in your life. How much will you take in? Praise God. Do you want the whole counsel of God or do you just want bits and pieces? See, the apostle Paul was after us to go get the meat of the word. Not milk, not just the fluff. He wanted us to go in and get the depth because that's what was given to him. Always to feast on the deep things. He even told those that he gave the word of God to. He chastised them. They knew that meat. He says, my goodness, you should be teaching the meat, but you've gotten so far away from it, I have to feed you with milk again. Because this isn't something that's just a one and done deal. This is continual. This is a marriage if you want his best. And you know what about a marriage? You stay in it. You didn't just come to an altar and said, well, I do, and kiss and say, see you later. No, that's when it really started. Now you're in it. And by the grace of God, you best be in it every day. He is. And he's a jealous God. He loves you with a godly jealousy. It's a jealous love. He's after you. And he wants that from you. Over and over, he tells us so many times and ways in the word, I've come for your words. When he proposed to you by the grace of God, and I'm talking about the proposal of the bridal truth, and you said, I will go, you got his attention for life. we're not going back. he wants you. And you know how that is. I was talking with a brother, and he's going through a real hard time right now. He says, you know, the more I go into the truth, the more I go, the harder it gets. I said, amen. That's what the word said it would be. But I said, you know what? If we turn back, brother, it'd even be worse. He says, oh, I know, I can't. I said, it's love, isn't it? And he said, it sure is. Praise the Lord. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, look at what it says here in verse 7. And I'm sure most all, if not all here, know this. Here comes Samuel. God's told him, Saul's not my choice, never was. I just allowed it. That was man's choice. Now here comes mine. And he's going to come out of that line of Jesse. It's going to be his son, one of his sons. And so here come the sons. And read verse 6 with me. Remember, this is Samuel. What a man of God Samuel is. What a man of God Samuel was. And it came to pass when they were come, these sons, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Even Samuel hadn't learned yet. Samuel was still looking with his eyes. And God sure straightened that up in verse 7, didn't he? Perfection's coming. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You know those big demonstrations of repentance. I'm talking about, you know, when you get a big sobber before the crowds. Oh, I'm so sad. Grand speeches, outward gestures. You know, they really please men. But you know what? That's dung to God. And that only gives glory to the flesh. Do you know that? That's the truth. And what happens when you give glory to the flesh and you're doing it outward appearance, a lot of times it just gives glory to everybody else's flesh because then they're looking to man and not to God. The Lord is always after and searching for the broken heart and the contrite spirit. Turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 3. We could go all over the word of God in this sweet little study tonight, but just some things to thank him for about what you have with him. And how real it is. But in 1 Peter 3:3 and 4, It even says here, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. How many times throughout the Word of God, even God's people so overlooked God's choice. God's prophet was even looking for, well, you get in a panic and a hurry, you'll start looking for anything. Samuel was rattled, wasn't he? He loved Saul. He wanted Saul to succeed under the hand of God, but he saw that Saul wouldn't go that way. And a lot of times when we see those kinds of things happening, we get discouraged. And we'll try to hurry things. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon God. Let him show you. And I'll tell you, it'll be something beyond what you could ever ask or think. And I'll tell you what, David as king was beyond what they could ever ask or think. What a sweet man. By the grace of God, a man after God's very own heart. A man that trusted in God, that believed God. And speaking of that heart of David, as much as he loved God and believed God, he really never fully matured in that understanding of what we're talking about tonight, about a rent heart, until he had a great failure. That great failure. And I think one of the greatest expressions of the heart of God in David was when David said in the psalm, "Before thee and thee only have I sinned." You know, there were still ones in that kingdom that were very upset about that. They wanted David to pay. And they wanted him to pay in a lot of different ways. They sure, a legal heart sure doesn't want someone to go to the Lord and the Lord alone and to say, "Before thee, Lord, thee only have I sinned." See, the spiritual would rejoice in that. The spiritual would know that, you know what, that brother or sister, they got with Jesus. There's a thankfulness and a gratitude. I don't see the outward garments being rent because that's just filthy rags to God. I see a heart that's been changed. I see one that has been laying under that tree and wanted to die. But yet the angel came. "Drink this, honey, and feed upon this. Now rise up. Rise up. We got more to go. I'm going to give you a meal that'll last you 40 days. Strength that you've never even known." Hallelujah. Isn't the Word of God marvelous? I love when he tells me about my life. You think about the lowly publican in such quiet surrender. He bowed his head and he struck his chest and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." You know, the Lord was just overwhelmed. There was no public expression of all these things. I was even thinking of that wonderful military man who had that fellow soldier that was sick. And there was Jesus, and that man loved that man, and he wanted him healed. And he had faith. He knew that Jesus, he knew Jesus, the Son of God. There's the great physician. And he sought him out, and he came to Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, I got a sick friend. I need you to heal him." And you know, he didn't go and ask for everybody to come around and let's lay hands and let's do this and let's have prayer meeting after this and prayer chain after this and I got to have 100 million people praying for my friend. He came to Jesus. And he said, "You know, Jesus, I need you to heal him." And Jesus said, "You know, well, let's go." And he said, "Oh, no, Jesus." He said, "You're a busy man. I know what busy men are." Isn't that something? He's so polite. He knew Jesus was busy. He said, "You know what, Jesus? You just speak it. And I'll go in and receive my healed friend." Now, I might be stepping on some toes here tonight, but I really don't care. I want to preach you the Word of God. Now, I'm thankful to be able to pray with you. And I thank God, as the Word of God says, you're sick, you call upon the elders. But we've become so fascinated as Christians in numbers again. Get this out, get that out, and all these different things. And I'm not disparaging anything. I believe Ty has a wonderful ministry and the things that God has given him. I think the ones that are praying in that regard, they are brethren that are full of faith. I believe it was those that were praying for the disciples, for Peter to be freed from that prison. They got together and they prayed day and night for it. But it is because the Lord put it on their heart. But know this, it's never in numbers to God. It's in faith. And it's even faith the size of a mustard seed. Isn't that something? If that can take care of salvation, I'll tell you what, it can take care of cancer. It can take care of your children. It can take care of your grandchildren. It can take care of anything that concerns you. And I'll tell you what, he is concerned with you. He cares for you. And he said, I'll perfect that which concerns you. Was that just a verse? Was that just a placard on a wall? Or is that truly what he's called us to, of one of the manifold promises of his care for us? Honey, I'll perfect that which concerns you. I've seen life after life, but I can testify of my own. He works all things together for my good, every bit. I've never seen him ever leave one thing out of place. It's a perfection work. And I thank God for it. I know by the grace of God I'm called according to his purpose, just like you. We're hearing the gospel. Go for it. Get in it. But he's going to try you because he loves it. That's what pleases him. Faith's got to have a battle. Faith's got to have a fight. It's got to have a foe. But nothing can stand against the Word of God. Amen. Nothing. Now, praise his name. So, you see, the heart of God is after not what the public seeks. The heart of God is seeking that one that is shut up to God alone. Turn on over to 2 Timothy. The prized vessel to the Lord, as we know in his scripture, is his bride. She shut up to him. So many of the different stories in the Word of God, I think of the Song of Solomon so much. What a precious heart that started off, that sweet Shulamite, receiving that ministry that the Lord, I'm after you, honey. But she didn't realize how intimately he was after her and her alone. There were all these things that she was distracted with, and they were good things. She wanted people to come along with her. She wanted it to be a festive thing. Wasn't a bad thing, but it wasn't God's thing. Honey, we're going to go on this one alone. There ain't anybody coming with us. I tell you about a table for two, it ain't three. It ain't five, it ain't ten, it's two. And that's how he's laid out every one of these tables for us tonight. We're here together, but we're also here alone with him. We're receiving it, but we're receiving by the grace of God alone with him. Now, read that there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. And this speaks of that vessel. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means set apart, and meet for the master's use, that means just for him, and prepared unto every good work, that means beautifully adorned, like a pretty wedding dress, praise God. So look at that as it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these. not going to have a Bible study about the whole second chapter of Timothy. But see, ones will take this out and say, oh, see, there you go. You got to just cleanse it all out. What you got to do is take it in context with the Word of God and what he's speaking of here. And if you look back at chapter 2, the cleansing is so sweetly laid out for us. You know how you're cleansed? In verse 15, it says, by the studying of the Word. And not just studying it. Brother Alex prayed it tonight. So sweet. Not just studying it, but rightfully dividing the Word of God. I heard a very prominent Christian minister say, that's a very dangerous thing for anyone to say, is to rightfully divide the Word of God. I thought, how godless that statement is. Felt sad for him. He's my brother in Christ. But it's completely ignorant, and it's against the will of God. You need to know how to rightfully divide the Word of God. Amen. Just as the enemy. The enemy took different parts of the Word of God out here and there. And that's what's going on today. And unfortunately and sadly, the enemy's still the same one-trick pony. He'll do those same things over and over. But if you know the Word of God, have the whole armor of God on, let me tell you something. His fiery darts, they fall helplessly away. They don't even get near you. I don't need to have a conversation with the enemy. I just love quoting the Word of God. He hates that. He hates that. Tries to bring all this muck. Just begin to think upon these things. The lovely, the good report, the true. All those things that he can't stand. Drives him crazy. He's got to run away. So you see about this, about how that heart is purged for him. So it's studying the Word, rightfully dividing the Word. Verse 16, it says, avoid profane and empty babblings and religious. And what it is that's the religious legalists. That's that speak. So once again, we're right back to the Word of God. He said, know the Word of God, rightfully divide the Word of God. Stay away from religious garbage. Back to the Word of God. That's how you're set apart to him. I don't read anything about what I'm doing. It's about what the Word of God and knowing it is doing in me. Praise God. And then finally in verse 18, after you know it, after you're encouraged of it, stay with it. In verse 18 again, and stay with the truth. Don't wander from it. Don't err in it. I love how the brother Paul said it in another place. He thanked God he didn't make the grace of God vain in his life. So there it is. That's that precious set apart vessel. Once again, it's the Word, it's him. It's not me on an outward appearance. It's not something that I'm doing. It's something that I let him do in me. I thank God for this. You read the Word of God and about this vessel that's set apart, about this heart that is rent. The Word of God really is about 90% personal interaction between the individual and the Lord. The Lord deals with Israel, I understand that, in different peoples and things. But the majority of the Word of God is about an individual and the Lord. He speaks to them, doesn't he? Sometimes he'd speak to the people, don't get me wrong, as a whole, but this is about an intimate relationship. This is about the Lord wanting us to know him. Isn't that, he has mysterious ways, but he's a God that wants you to know him. I mean, he wants you to know him. And the beautiful thing that he tells you he wants you to know is his love. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, and he tells you who he is. He says, God is love. And that's what I want you to know. You think about how we can get so lost into wanting to know different things. And I love how the Word of God says, you know, avoid foolish questions. Stop that nonsense. I remember Brother Hill, and we'd have camp. You know, question and answer. Oh, here we go again. There might have been a couple questions that were there, but I heard him back there with John. John would say, well, when do you think the dinosaurs are coming up, Dad? When you thinking this? When you thinking that? How about just believing God? understand these things, you know. Yeah, I'm understanding some of the ire. Where he'd get in his car and drive away. I'm going home. This is about an intimate heart alone with Christ. This is about life-changing, heart-changing, all because of the powerful word of God. And I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, it's not done in groups. He brings us together, but just like tonight, just like every time we hear the word of God, it's done one-on-one. It's done one-on-one. I thank the Lord that we worship the Lord together, but it's still individual. And he brings us into a unity. It's all one in Christ. It's marvelous. I know there's one sun, one star differeth from another in glory, but she's still one diamond. She's still one bride. But you enter into that by taking it alone with him. And I thank God that it's done one at a time. I thank the Lord that it's done line upon line and precept upon precept. And it's a lifetime. The Lord spoke everything else into existence, but with us, as we talk about all the time, so marvelously, he takes our lifetime, and it's his treasure, dealing with us. And I mean dealing with us. But tonight, from this, as he rends your heart, it's because he loves you and he cares for you. Amen. And I thank the Lord. God has graced us. You know, I've been here many years. And it wasn't to be a critic. At times it was critical. Don't want to be that. But I thank the Lord we can see things. And God makes it evident. For a time there was, and there were ones in here that were very critical. And it seemed like an outward expression of faith was far more important than something that would ever rend a heart. And it's the truth. But as you fall truly and deeply in love, it's always going to be about one thing, the heart. Jesus even came. There wasn't anything about him that physically that you would desire him. There was nothing about him physically that was beautiful. What drew those ones to him was the word. Was the word. It wasn't he was a great orator. It wasn't that he was a great anything. It's because he is the word. He's the Lamb of God. He wants us to hear him. And know this, this word tonight in rending your heart, thanking him, this gratitude, he hears you. He hears you. He cares for you. You don't need some grand thing. You don't need to run around in some kind of pomp and circumstance ceremony amongst men. We're not trying to prove ourselves amongst ourselves. Thanks be to God that it's the word of his grace, isn't it? And we're assured in that because it's his promises. We know that we are his workmanship. Praise God. Amen. And we know what he's created us for. Those good works. He's strewn before us a path of those good works that we should walk therein. In ages past. Not of my choosing or choice. I don't even want to get caught up into that. I just want to be caught up into his grace. I know I can't choose anything that's right. I understand and I love that verse. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. I get that. But you know what I'm going to serve? By the grace of God, grace. I'm going to trust grace. I'm not going to trust Jesse. I'm not going to trust my faithfulness. Or my drive, or my desire, or because I feel really upbeat today. I trust his grace always. And I thank God, especially when I'm down. Especially when I don't feel good. Especially when things aren't going right. Especially when I do have a broken heart. I trust His grace. The grace that never changed. The mercy that's unfailing. The love that never ceases. That's what rends my heart. That keeps this vessel, by the grace of God, lowly. Lowly. He can work with me then. He gives grace to that humble heart. And I could never be humble in myself. I could never humble truly with my own effort myself before God. I humble myself before God because of His grace and His mercy. That's this rent heart. And it will become more and more beautiful and more rent as we grow more and more in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's stand and be dismissed.